thankful for the blessing of God's Word. That God speaks to us very clearly through His Word, and we praise God for that. Amen. Mark 6 and 45, and straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side, before unto Bethesda, while He sent away the people. When He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. And He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Fanny Crosby, we've mentioned her quite a bit lately. She was a hymn writer. 8,000 or so hymns are attributed to her. And of course, she was blinded just as an infant, but grew up with this amazing relationship with the Lord. And it just poured out of her, and the Lord just continually inspired her. And we sing her hymns all the time, and they are a blessing. One of her visits in New York, in the Manhattan area, to a prison. She went to a prison, and there she spoke, shared her testimony. They sang hymns that she had written. And the inmates were so moved. And one of them was so moved that he just cried out and said, Lord, please don't pass me by. And she got a hold of that little phrase, and she wrote that hymn, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Hear My Humble Cry, While on Others Thou Art Calling, Do Not Pass Me By. Savior, Savior, Hear My Humble Cry, While on Others Thou Art Calling, Do Not Pass Me By. I wanted to say here at the very onset that I do completely trust the Lord. I completely trust the Lord. Even in times when you don't understand. And there are many things that we don't understand about what's going on in our world or even our own lives right now, even in our own church. We don't really understand all that's going on. But as believers in God's Word, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we completely and entirely trust God. Amen. We trust Him. We know that He does all things well. He does all things for our good and for the glory of God. And while our hearts are sad and we go through sad and really troubling times, I'd like to just consider the fact that Jesus will not pass you by. He will not pass us by in the situation that we are in or that you may be in. He's aware of what's going on in your life. Actually, this entire chapter, Mark chapter 6, is a chapter that kind of reveals how it can be sometimes in your life. At the beginning of the chapter, He calls the disciples. He blesses them, and He sends them forth. And He says, go and heal the sick and cast out devils. Go in the name of the Lord. And that's what they do. They go forth at the beginning of this chapter. They go forth, and they are amazed that they are
being used of the Lord to do just that, to touch the lives of people, to deliver them from sicknesses and diseases. And the power of God is with them. The power of God is upon them. And they are able to do some amazing, amazing things. And that's the first few verses of the chapter. And then it switches to the story of John the Baptist being arrested and put in jail. John the Baptist, if you remember, he was arrested because he preached against the adultery of the king. And so he was placed in prison. And this is one of those things that you don't really understand. Because John, even Jesus said about John, there's never been a prophet like him. There's no prophet that compares to him. He was the preparer of the way for the Messiah. John was a great man and a great man of faith. But even John in prison, he wondered, Lord, have you passed me by? Have you forgotten me where I am? He even sent his disciples out and said to ask and make sure that he's truly the Messiah. Now, John knew who Jesus was. If anyone recognized Jesus, John recognized Jesus. I mean, when he was baptizing in the wilderness and Jesus came up, everybody else looked around and didn't know who he was, but he said, behold, the Lamb of God. He recognized who Jesus was, but something about hardship, being in prison, being alone, being forgotten, can sometimes make you feel like, Lord, have you passed me by? And the story, of course, the reality is that John lost his life. His head was taken off, and it seems devastating. And that's in the middle of the chapter. So the first part of the chapter is all of these wonderful miracles and the visitation of God's presence and power in their lives. And then the terrible account of John and losing his life imprisoned. And really the hopelessness of that kind of a predicament. Although we know that God worked and moved through that situation in a mighty way. He hadn't forgotten John. He hadn't forsaken him. And then at the end of the chapter, they go into the wilderness. Jesus takes them into the wilderness, and great crowds of people follow them into the wilderness, 5,000 of them. And in the evening, they don't have anything to eat, and the disciples say to Jesus, now you know I'm just paraphrasing this account. The disciples just speak to Jesus and say, we need to send everybody home because it's late. They need to eat. And Jesus said, you feed them. And they said, we don't have the ability. We don't have the means to feed such a massive crowd of people. Jesus said, well, bring me what you got. Just a little lunch. Just a little lunch is brought to Jesus. And you know that he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he blessed it. And they took that and they spread that lunch out throughout all of those 5,000 and had a lot left over. So sandwiched in between two miraculous and wonderful, powerful things that happened for those disciples, they witnessed the power of God. The miraculous was this sad and difficult time. It shows how that our lives are many times We run in cycles. We have highs and we have lows. We have times when we feel like that everything is just wonderful and powerful and great. And then we go through sad times and times that we don't understand and times that we wish we could somehow figure it all out. And it continues in this chapter. In the text, the part that we read there, beginning with verse number 45. He told them to get in a boat. He said, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. This was after the feeding of the 5,000. He says, get in the boat. Get in the boat, and I'm going to dispense of the crowd. And they get in the boat, and Jesus literally sends them into the middle of a storm. He sends them into a storm. So you see how it goes from highs to lows, difficult times, challenging times. But I just want to encourage you to know that no matter where you are today, things may be good, things may be going great, or you may be going through a sad and a difficult time. The Lord has not passed you by. He has not passed you by. And so he put them into a ship, sent them right into the middle of a storm. Right into the middle of a storm. And, you know, God is a sovereign God. We understand that he knows all and he does everything well. And we understand that God has a plan. And a part of his plan includes that we'd have these highs and lows. We learn to trust God when our heart is breaking. We learn to trust God when we're confused. We learn to trust God when we are struggling. And we wonder, Lord, what are you doing? It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't add up, Lord. All these things that are happening. But God is with you and he hasn't passed you by. Praise God. Glory to God. He can be trusted. I already said that this morning, but God can be trusted. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Does he do right? Yes, he does. God does righteously. He does right. Even though it doesn't add up to us, God knows what he's doing. He's a sovereign God that's in control. Amen. Then he commands them to get into this boat. He stays on the shore and he sends them into a storm. That really sounds kind of cruel, doesn't it? I want you to get in the boat. I want you to go into the storm. I'm not going with you. I'm not going into this storm with you. You know, sometimes we do feel like we've been deserted by God. We feel like we are alone sometimes. I understand that. If you've served the Lord for any length of time, you do have times where you pray and it doesn't feel like that you can get a prayer through. And you try to reach out to the Lord, but for some reason you're struggling. It's during that time, and I've mentioned to several different people around the church, our church is in a testing time. We're being put to the test. Are you going to trust the Lord when you can't see him, when you can't feel him, when it doesn't seem like that he's there with you? Now, we know that he is with us. We know he is with us. But sometimes we feel like that we're alone, but we're not. Wonderful thing about this story is that they're sent out into the storm, but Jesus has gone into the mountain to pray. Amen. You're never alone because God cares about you. Amen. The Bible says he's an intercessor and he's interceding for us. The Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. We have one who is concerned about our needs. Romans 8 and 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Praise God. When you feel alone and deserted and you feel forsaken, he has not passed you by. No, he's making intercession for you. He is praying for you. The Bible says he ever liveth to make ever intercession for us. That's who he is. He is interceding for you and for me in our time of need. Jesus went into the mountain to pray, and the disciples are in the middle of a storm. The Bible says that he saw them. He's praying, but the Bible says he saw them toiling and rowing against the contrary winds. I don't know about you, but that really encourages me because I know his eyes on me. Yes. Amen. I know his eyes on me. I know his eyes on you. His eyes on our church family. His eye is on every one of us here today. He sees your toiling. He sees your rowing. He sees your efforts. He sees your trying and your struggling and going through troubling and difficult times. But, oh, he's praying for you and his eye is upon you. Glory to God. Psalm 33, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Amen. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His eyes upon us. Amen. You may feel alone. You may feel you're in the storm by yourself. You may feel like he doesn't know what's going on, but oh, he's praying for you. And his eyes upon you. He knows what you're going through. He is not passing you by. No, he is not. The Bible says that he goes to them. Amen. Now, the disciples are having a lot of trouble. They're having trouble with, the scripture says, their hearts were hardened. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. I mean, they just experienced this great miracle. They weren't considering it. What was going on with them? The Bible says their hearts were hard. They experienced the help of God and the provision of the Lord and the power of God. But they just didn't take it in. They just didn't recognize it for what it was. And then Jesus comes walking toward them in the water, walking on the water. He shows his power over the storm and over the elements and that he can even walk on water. And they're still afraid. They're still afraid of who he is and what's going on here. We don't understand this. The Lord is revealing himself. And let me tell you, that's just like you and me. Because you and I, most of us, we've experienced the hand of God. We've experienced miracles and healings and wonderful things that God has done in our life. But then, that was yesterday. And today, it's different. It's hard to remember that. Oh, I know that God has done, and it's more difficult to believe that he can do it right now. And that he is a personal God who comes to us in our present situation, at our present need, and shows himself strong in our behalf. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says that he comes walking upon the sea. They thought, oh, he's a spirit. But then he responds, no, it's me. It is I. Be not afraid. The Lord coming to them. He enters into the boat. And when he does, the storm calms and the problem is solved because Jesus is there with them. Notice the phrase where it says, he would have passed them by. He would have passed them by. And I don't even pretend. I've mulled over this and mulled over this. I don't pretend to understand all about what's going on here, except for the fact that they had to cry out to him for help. They had to ask for help. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. They cried out in the darkness. He came walking and would have passed them by. But I just want you to be encouraged today that the Lord's not going to pass you by. He's not going to pass me by. He's not going to go on by. He cares about you. He cares about our needs. And he will come. Just reach out to him. Just cry out to the Lord. The Lord will help you. He'll come to your rescue. He will deliver you. He'll help you if you'll call upon the Lord. Remember there in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, where the Bible says that Moses wanted to see the glory of God. Brother Bowman made mention of this in class this morning. And he had said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going. That's Exodus 33, 14. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He just was simply saying, Lord, if you don't go with us, we're not going. We're not going to go. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. All of my goodness pass before me. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Now this was going to be quite an experience for Moses. But it was going to be too much for him and too much for any man. So the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. He was just simply saying, I'm going to put you in a hiding place, because when my glory comes by, too much for you, you're not going to be able to see the glory of the Lord. You're not going to be able to have a face-to-face encounter with me. It's too much. It's too mighty, too glorious, too wonderful. But I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'm still going to come by. I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to reveal myself to you. Praise God. And that's where I think a lot of you are, where a lot of us are. We're in that place where we want the glory of the Lord. We want to see the hand of God. We want to know that God is at work in our life and our circumstances. And he wants to reveal himself to you. And he will put you in a hiding place. He will. In a safe place. And he'll reveal himself to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord will not pass you by. He will not. And for all of us that have been a part of this church for a lot of years, the Lord is not passing us by. I don't understand a lot of things, but I do believe that God, in these last days, he has some things that he wants to fulfill and accomplish in our lives and in our church and our ministry here. And the only way that we can experience it and see it become a reality is trust him. Yes. Trust him and believe that the Lord is going to bring us through all of this, and he'll provide for us, and he'll reveal himself to us if you'll cry out to the Lord. Amen. But you got to cry out to him. Amen. He won't pass you by if you will just cry out to the Lord. Remember that blind man? His name was Bartimaeus. He was by the side of the road begging, and he'd been there all of his life. That was who he was. That was his identity. That was who he was. But he had heard that there was one, Jesus, that was going to be passing by. He heard about him. And when he began to lift up his voice, all those around him were saying, oh no, you need to be quiet. You don't need to cry out to the Lord. He doesn't have time for you. Don't bother the Savior. But the Bible says he cried out even the more. And Jesus heard him. In the midst of all of that crowd, and Jesus stopped and turned to Bartimaeus. And that was a wonderful miracle that day when he was healed and his life was changed. And God worked. Jesus won't pass you by if you'll cry out to him. If you'll cry out to the Lord, he will not forsake you. He will hear your cry today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth, Lord, that you know where we are. You haven't forsaken us. Lord, there are some here today that they may be in a stormy situation in their life. And Lord, they're wondering, Lord, where are you at in all of this? I don't see you in this. Have you forsaken me? Have you left me? Am I all alone? Oh, no. The Lord is praying for you. He's making intercession for you, and his eyes are upon you. He cares about you. He sees you rowing. He sees you trying and struggling and doing all that you can do in your own strength. He sees all of that, but he's coming. He's coming to manifest himself in power and to show himself strong on your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, everybody. Hallelujah.